broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for April the 2nd in the year of our Lord, 2022. This is indeed hour two of two, and the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country, and to do so in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide. And absolutely, we're convinced that checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the peaceful, restorative solutions we still have at our fingertips. And believe it or not, that's what I talked all last hour about, the checks and balances, and how we've allowed these checks and balances to literally be dismantled. And as we've done so, it's been a disaster, an absolute disaster for the country, ladies and gentlemen. I talked about the 17th Amendment, how we literally have taken away the state's ability to have delegates, if you will, to have representation at the federal government or the general government level. It's a disaster. Okay, the states have no representation. No wonder they become political subdivisions of the Fed, right? And then I've also talked about money. You know what? We've allowed the federal government to literally print money out of thin air, create this lie that they're the boss. And then literally the government mandates via stick and carrot mentality, if you will. Hey, the states just become political subdivisions. Not only do you have no representation in the general government venue, no seat at the table, but you also now are on the dole. And when we put you on the dole, you're going to obey. That's what the federal government's saying. And nobody will take responsibility for that. Can the federal government take control of state taxes? Well, the answer should be no constitutionally, but when you're on the dole and you're violating all the checks and balances that made America great and protects the greatest country on the face of the earth, you're going to have these troubles. We talked about the income taxes and how wrong and abusive they've become. The founding fathers never intended direct taxation. When we jettison all the precincts, and you literally have mail-in balloting, you're circumventing all these checks and balances. Well, I digress, but I want to continue with this same checks and balances discussion because it's really, really, really important to understand. So we've allowed the checks and balances vertically and horizontally to be destroyed. Congress passed this law saying, hey, the states can't cut taxes or do whatever they want to if they took government COVID money. But then now the Congress members, over 64 Congress members, literally at the appellate court going, wait a minute, Joe shouldn't be able to do this. Joe's mandating this and that. Look, Congress, you're the one that passed the ambiguous, confusing law in the first place. Well, Joe shouldn't be able to do it, and we're going to go to the courts for answers. Why should a few thug judges decide this? What about the 50 states that have their own sovereignty? What about the 50 republics that should say, federal government, you have no authority here? Well, they don't have a right to say that because they're all in the dole. They all took the stick and the carrot. They all ignored this law, or they didn't understand the law, or they didn't understand what they were agreeing to, whatever you want to say. But all the states took plenty of government money, and now they're mad because they have to obey. See, this is the problem. Where are the states in this battle? Why do we have members of Congress who created the confusing law now at court trying to fix the law all at the federal level? The states should be going, oh, no, 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 no. We're not doing this. We have our own sovereignty. Well, they're struggling because they're on the dole. They agreed to it, don't you understand? Well, there are checks and balances in America that I've highlighted on this radio program more so than anybody else on your radio. I've highlighted the vertical and the horizontal, right? The horizontal, in other words, left to right, says there's three branches of government, your executive, your judicial, and your legislative, and they all three have different authorities, and they're all three designed to hopefully hold the other one in check. Well, now Congress made this confusing law. Congress is mad at the president for carrying out the confusing law and not interpreting it or not carrying it out properly, and now they're going to the courts to say, court, fix this for us. All the court can say is, yeah, the president's right, or no, he's not right. He shouldn't be able to do this. But really, the courts are left to interpret the intent of Congress on this, right? Well, Congress should go back and clarify and say, look, this was not our intent. Sorry, this is so confusing. And they should lay down something, but they can't. They're too mired in political ease. And the Senate members don't represent the states, which would give the states asserted authority to do something to stop this. But see, the states don't have any representation anymore, see? And these senators now are so elite. There's junior and senior senators, and they're all so removed from the people that, you know what, the lobbyists control the senators, not we the people at all. So that's what I mean by the horizontal. Now let's talk about the vertical checks and balances. The states should be saying to the federal government, listen, you have incredible authority. The Supremacy Clause in the Constitution says you're supreme in your very limited scope that we've given you. But outside of that, you're not supreme at all. In fact, you have no authority over we, the several states, over the several republics. We're the ones that created you, general government, not the other way around. The tail does not wag the dog. You must back off. But see, when they've taken government federal money and they've literally agreed to the, quote, reception of that money, now they're so compromised they can't fight back. And they have no representation to fight back even if they wanted to. They could use nullification, but people have lost sight of that check and balance, giving the states tremendous authority to jettison the federal government. Look, Sheriff Richard Mack's Supreme Court case was about that. He simply said, I'm not going to obey this Brady Bill mandate from the president. The president said, yes, you will. And they went to the court and Sheriff Mack won. But the court basically said, look, the states have no obligation to obey the federal government. The federal government has no mandating authority over the states. But no one's paying attention to that Supreme Court case decision. It took $500,000+ to get there and win in the first place, but now no one's even referring to that landmark case like they should be. But I digress. I'm just telling you that there's vertical and horizontal checks and balances. And the vertical checks and balances should be the states asserting themselves above the federal government, going, hey, federal government, you have a limited authority. That's right. Go ahead and stay in your limited authority lane. And we'll go ahead and take it from here. Thank you very much. But see, the states aren't doing that. The counties aren't doing that to the states like they should be doing either. So as these checks and balances break down, we have problems in America. And people want to rage and do things to right the wrongs they see. They're justified in their anger, their frustration, their rage, their disenfranchisement. They're right in the concern. But how we're going about it, the tactics to restore the republic, to resolve the inadequacies or inequities involved, are lacking real answers and real solutions. The only answer is to use the very system that our founding fathers bled and died for and gave us to solve the problems, a.k.a. return to the checks and balances, assert ourselves in meaningful ways. But you're not going to get control of elections if you just go to a federal court who says, oh, we're not even going to listen to you. You don't have a standing. Goodbye. We're not going to talk about election fraud. You need to go to every local precinct in the country, well over 100,000 precincts, and take it on at the local level where you actually can create accountability and transparency, and you might actually have some authority to make a difference. That's really not the bottom of the government like we think. The most local government closest to you is the top of government. Government that's the furthest away is the bottom of government. It's the opposite of what you've been taught and what you think, folks. But look, we're not going to solve the problem if we just say, oh, there's vote fraud, and I guess they circumvented all of our precincts and got rid of that check and balance. Now it's all up to the post office and mail-in balloting and big states' attorney generals who aren't going to take on the federal government over this. And now the system's broken, and you go, well, what do we do about it? Look, unless you get back precincts, unless you restore that check and balance, they're going to circumvent that check and balance too, right? So, folks, there are what are called checks and balances, formal checks and balances. Those are defined in the Constitution, highlighting the three different branches of government. They're also highlighted in each state constitution, dividing the states into three branches of government, but the states also having separate authority from the federal government, thus the dual constitutionality that we speak of engendering dual sovereignty, as we've highlighted on this program, probably more than anybody else. We teach truth to power. We focus on reality checks, ladies and gentlemen, like nobody's business. So you see that if every state has a state constitution, then there's a lot of authority delegated to the state. But between the state constitution and the general constitution, you see two sovereigns. but they're not sovereign over the exact same things to battle it out in an adversarial relationship. They're sovereigns in that they each have delegated responsibilities. They have different spheres or jurisdictions to work in. So that's the vertical and the horizontal divisions of powers or separations of powers that I speak of with checks and balances. Each entity was intended by the founding fathers to jealously guard their authority, their jurisdictional responsibility, their delegated obligations, right? And when we don't understand them, how can we insist that they do that? That's the problem in America. Well, I mentioned that there's formal checks and balances, such as the three branches of government, such as the dual sovereignty of the states and the Fed, the different jurisdictions, all that I mentioned, that's formally articulated contractually by government, right? We, the people, have delegated authority to government and said, look, here's the spheres, here's the jurisdictions, here's the separations. Now go to and carry out your responsibilities. And if anybody kind of steps over the line vertically or horizontally, in other words, anybody gets kind of out of balance, let's go ahead and check them with the other authorities that exist, right? That's what was intended by the founders. That's the formal checks and balances. We have informal checks and balances, ladies and gentlemen, in America as well. And some of them become less formal as we get further from government. Let me give you some examples when we come back to highlight this reality check that you ought to understand. We cannot allow all these things to be dismantled and expect to run the greatest country on the face of the earth. We cannot expect them to have limited power if we don't insist on it through the mechanisms we've developed to do just that, right? Hang tight. We'll talk about it on your radio.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
We at Freedom Factor have a passion for our shared American heritage and want to help restore some of that American pride by emphasizing the documents that made us Americans. Our goal is to put pocket constitutions into the hands of every American and in every school. This effort requires your help. Order your pocket constitutions and browse our website at freedomfactor.org to learn how you can help spread the message of freedom. Read it, know it, share it. freedomfactor.org.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. So I'm going to talk about some of the informal checks and balances that we have in America as well. You know, the fully informed jury. I reject the citizens' grand juries because I don't believe they have authority and they don't have any checks and balances to them. All right, that's why I reject that idea. That's why I reject a lot of the sovereignty movement agenda. Even though I agree that we are sovereign citizens, I don't agree with the current manipulized, bastardized idea that sovereign citizens can do whatever they want to outside of the system, that they can somehow just reject the consent of the governed idea and do whatever they want to. They don't have authority to do that. But I do agree that we are sovereign citizens under God. And I believe our sovereignty, part of it is individualistic and part of it is joint sovereignty as we the people. We the people are a body who have tremendous sovereign authority After all, by our consent, does government derive its just powers in the first place? See, so all power comes from us. But we can't individually just secede. That isn't the reality, ladies and gentlemen. I digress, except to talk about these formal checks and balances versus the less formal or informal will be some of them as I continue. So understand that, you know what, the fully informed jury is drastically different from a citizen's grand jury. See, the citizen's grand jury in modern times has no tie to the proper role of limited government. No tie to the authority delegated by the consent of the governed is the problem. So they become judge, jury, and executioner. But they have no teeth. They have no power. They have no authority. You empower a citizen's grand jury tomorrow. You go ahead and bring everybody in. You indict. The people that don't want to come don't, because they say they claim you have no authority. And then you research and then indict. And then what? You have no arresting authority, no way to carry out your indictments, no way to go to the next level. See, Larry Klayman's doing a lot of this. Now, I don't mean to be rude to Larry. I think he's a great guy. But I don't think that he has teeth in this. He's indicted everybody under the sun. What stopped him from arresting people, trying these indictments and literally putting people away for criminal activity? The answer is there's no authority. There's no checks and balances. There's no proper role of limited government there. There's no delegated power. It's just seized power by the few, pretending they have authority over the many. It doesn't work. All right, but fully informed juries are a completely different animal. Fully informed juries are the last check and balance that we the people have been given in this incredible republic that we have inherited from some incredible people who have taken their blueprint from God Almighty in the Bible and have taken the historical relevance of those who have gone before them. And they've literally created a unique experiment, the greatest country on the face of the earth. And these checks and balances are critical to the experiment. In that we are running off the rails for the experiment, it's because we're disassembling, we are literally disabling, dismantling these checks and balances that I mentioned. Well, fully informed juries are one of them. Look, if I am a fully informed juror, not only will I judge the case before me, but I will judge the law. So let's take, for example, and they've circumvented a lot of this by they have all these IRS courts and everything else. You don't get a standard court, a jury of your peers over the IRS. You get a kangaroo court. You get a star chamber court. It's like a federal IRS court, tax court is what they call it. Okay, that's bogus. They deny you a jury of your peers. They deny the fully informed jury. They deny the last check and balance that could make America great. If I was on a fully informed jury and they said, hey, Larry isn't paying his taxes and Larry doesn't believe that he owes taxes because Larry studied the law and he believes that it doesn't apply to him and so on and so forth. And I could look at that and go, you know, they claim Larry's violated these things, but I'm just going to judge the law here. I'm going to say I don't care if Larry's guilty or not of what they claim. I think the law of direct taxation, of a Gestapo IRS, of a tax court where it's jury, judge, and executioner all in one. I'm going to reject that whole premise, and I'm going to say, you're free to go, Larry. See, a fully informed jury member has that right of final check and balance to not only judge the case before them, but to judge the law. And we've gone away from fully informed juries. Americans don't understand their God-given responsibility. With rights come responsibility, and you know what? You have the right to go free if the people determine that the law is unfairly executed, that people are prosecuted wrongfully without the checks and balances. See, when you circumvent the checks and balances and you don't give people a jury of their peers and you don't give people the ability to really take on the discussions, you just go to tax court. You have been denied due process of law, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, judge, jury, and executioner and the due process of law are at opposite ends of the reality check. But see, we the people don't understand fully informed juries anymore, so we don't insist on them. We allow these tax courts to grow up among us, creating this violation of the relatively informal check and balance here. We the people can provide that final check. But unless we understand our responsibility of fully informed juries, the average Joe goes, they called me to jury duty. It's horrible. I'm going to have to miss work. It's going to be just horrible. Can I get out of my jury responsibilities? And they look at their obligation to run the greatest country on the face of the earth, to be true owners, right, they want to circumvent that responsibility. Could someone else serve on the jury? There's a jazz game tonight. I can't be wasting all day skipping work. And, you know, see, we've lost sight of what's important, folks. And we look at jury duty as a burden instead of a blessing. We look at it as virtually a curse instead of a blessing and a solution. It's a solution to rein in government. It's one of the greatest checks and balances that have been virtually, for the most part, dismantled in America. Because even if you get a jury of peers embodied for the purpose of trying a given case, most of the jurors don't understand their incredible power. The judge dictates instructions to them, and they're like, well, all we got to do is, you know, is this guy guilty? They're not looking at the law. They're not looking at the whole fully informed discussion as they ought, right? And so that's a problem. We've lost that check and balance due to the ignorance in the population and the people, thinking that jury duty is a penalty. Oh, man, they put me in timeout. I got to go to jury duty, and kind of an attitude, right? We've literally lost that check and balance because of the ignorance of the American people, not understanding the power and authority and blessing and responsibility that a jury is, right? All right, so that's one of the checks and balances. Let me give you another check and balance. In America, there's a free enterprise system. I know that we don't see it much. I know that it's kind of shrouded in confusion in modern society today, right? I know it's really hard for people to even understand that it exists because it's just so not on the radar, not in focus for the average American. But there are checks and balances that are less formal. And the free enterprise system is one of them. And businesses should be standing up. But we've allowed the courts to become gods. We've allowed these unintended consequences from congressional laws to literally dictate everything we do. Take the ADA, for example. That's the Americans with Disabilities Act. And that was created in 1990, and it has no provisions for websites at all. And it was meant to give access to buildings. You got to have a counter that's a certain amount of inches high, and you got to have a certain amount of open counter space that's a certain length, and you've got to, and they have all these accommodations meant to protect and help disabled people. The creators of the law probably had good intentions, but the law has ran off the rails. And I'll give you an example. Now they're demanding that websites be accessible. But websites are not discussed in the law at all. Some lawyers say if you don't have a place, you don't have a case. A virtual place is not a physical place, and so there's no case. But others are asserting that, yes, there is a case. The intent of the law was that everything be accessible. The problem with the law is two primary fold. Number one, there is no standard to follow. Congress put together a law in 1990, but now that internet websites are prevalent, prominent, ubiquitous, there is no law telling what a given owner of a website needs to do to be compliant. So there's no guidance. There's no implementing guidelines to follow. There's no regulatory, here's what you need to do. Do these five things and you're compliant. There is none of that in the law. Because the law was created for an earlier time. It was not created for the modern website era. So the law is confusing. The law has no teeth. The law has no clarity. Well, there are attorneys now that are taking advantage of that lack of standards, lack of the laws keeping up with the reality of our times. And so now there's a bunch of attorneys across the country that are literally suing businesses and filing complaints against businesses and saying, you know what, you've got this problem, you're not compliant with the law. And because there's no definition or compliance standards, everybody's virtually in compliance, because how do you determine that? Well, that's in the eyes of the beholder. They'll get professional hackers that'll say you're violating the law, and here's the 10 examples of proof. And now you're left, instead of being innocent until proven guilty, it's the opposite. You're guilty unless you can prove yourself innocent. Therefore, what people are forced to do is settle out of court. Let's talk about this more.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News. The U.S. is pledging another $300 million in military aid to Ukraine. The Defense Department said the military aid will include laser-guided rockets, drones, armored vehicles, ammunition, machine guns, and night vision. So far, the Biden administration has provided over $1.6 billion in assistance to Ukraine during the Russian invasion. Ukraine President Zelensky spoke to Fox News.
It's hard for us to talk about NATO because NATO doesn't want to admit us. If we join NATO, we would make NATO much stronger.
President Biden is cheering the March jobs report as the economy added another 431,000 jobs in March.
More jobs created over the first 14 months of any presidency in any term ever.
The unemployment rate dipped to 3.6%, down from 3.8% last month. New federal reports show the top 1% of America's total wealth peaked at nearly $46 trillion late last year. Higher stock prices are one reason for the total increase. This is USA Radio News.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit porky, and you may even have type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Call Term Provider. Speak with Big Lou at 800-444-9336. Big Lou will find a term life policy for you even if you have type 2 diabetes, are overweight, or have high blood pressure. Term Provider has helped thousands of people like you who think they can't afford term life insurance. To buy $1 million of affordable term life for you, all you need to do is call Big Lou at 800-444-9336. Lou will make sure the scales are tipped in your favor. Call 800-444-9336. Big Lou will answer your call and work to fit you into a term life policy that you can afford. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds too. Call 800-444-9336. 800-444-9336.
Border crossings along the U.S.-Mexico border will prepare for more migrants after the U.S. ends Title 42 pandemic immigration restrictions. The policy turns away asylum seekers at the border due to COVID-19 concerns. That's expected to end May 23rd. Texas immigration attorney Andres Meher.
No matter what they do, they're not going to be prepared for the number of individuals that are going to be presenting themselves.
New York City's mask mandate for young children will remain in place after the city won an appeal on a judge's ruling lifting the mandate. The city had planned to lift the mandate for that group on Monday. New York City Mayor Eric Adams.
Our plans were to take a week to assess the numbers before removing masks for 2 to 4 years old.
Two former Trump aides may face criminal contempt of Congress. Citations from the House, Peter Navarro and Dan Scavino, have refused to cooperate with the House committee investigating last year's attack on the Capitol. House contempt citations would be referred to the Justice Department for possible prosecution. This is USA Radio News.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, so I'm talking about how the checks and balances in America have been literally dismantled over time, and we the people are suffering the consequences, and the only answer is to insist that we restore them. And I'm talking about the free market right now. It has been an incredible check on government, but it's being dismantled one tidbit at a time. So the headline that I'm talking about says the ADA shakedown. And they call it a racket, the ADA shakedown racket, ladies and gentlemen. The Americans with Disabilities Act has spawned a sleazy lawsuit industry. Walter Olson wrote this piece, and it's a really valuable point. In fact, Doug Ducey of Arizona has even put in place some attempts to rein in this sleazy industry. But here's what's going on. The ADA was passed in 1990 with maybe good intentions. Hey, you know what? Help people with disabilities access things. It's a good idea, right? And, you know, government shouldn't really mandate all this. That's another topic. But they were. And I believe in the beginning they might have had some pretty good intentions. But it's ran off the rails. And now you got this sleazy industry of attorneys that are literally using this against the people. So let me explain. You've got to make your website comply with the ADA. But there's no compliance guidelines because the ADA came out way before websites did, and there's no updated clarifying regulatory language that identifies landmarks, if you will, to make your site accessible. So the debate is, your site's always not accessible. Doesn't matter what you do to make it accessible. You might be able to reduce your liability to some degree, but these attorneys that are unscrupulous will run around and sue you. They'll hire hackers and say, look, your website is not compliant. And then you'll say, yes, it is. And they'll say, no, it's not. Here's a report from a hacker that shows that it's not. And now you're debating your innocence or guilt. They're claiming you're guilty. And they filed this complaint. And then what they say is, you can go ahead and settle with us. And most 90%+ of businesses end up settling because they don't have the money for, the time for, the resources, if you will, for the fight. So they settle. Well, these attorneys love it. So they've made their settlement amounts right below, what do you want to say? Right below what it might take to comply and right below what it might take to sue and win. Enough below, though, to make everybody kind of think twice. So now these sleazy attorneys know that the law is ambiguous, know that it's confusing, and they're literally violating the free enterprise system by holding these businesses over a barrel. There's been well over 4,000 lawsuits across the country to date, and legislative bodies are starting to freak out about this. Congress has done nothing about it. The courts have rejected the discussions and not allowed it to go to the Supreme Court level where it eventually must go for resolution. Congress should be doing something to clarify the law, but of course, they're stuck on stupid, not doing anything. And so in this no man's land of sleazy attorneys, everybody's over a barrel and they say, hey, your website's not compliant. We're going to sue you if you don't settle with us. And so everybody ends up settling for, I don't know, anywhere from $3,000 to $20,000 people settle. There might be examples of more, depending on the company and the details. And what's tied to this is the law. You know what? Do you have a place of business? If you do, ADA was designed to make places accessible. So they're saying, well, if your website doesn't relate to a place, then you may not need to comply. But whether you need to comply or not, you've got this lawsuit that you still must handle and deal with and settle with. Well, you've got cases all across the country that have got split decisions. Even in the state of Michigan, you got a Western district and an Eastern district that are at odds. One district says one thing, then another district says another thing. You've got a New York split decisions, California, et cetera, where it's very, very confusing. And that's why eventually it'll end up in the Supreme Court. There's no other way with all these split decisions and lack of clarity. And so why do I say this is a check and balance? Because, ladies and gentlemen, if you can get taken to the cleaners, your whole business can go under over this. Right? I've heard people say to me, you know what, Sam? If we take on this lawsuit and try to win, which we think we should, but we don't have the money, we'll go under if we take that on. So we'll settle. We have no choice. And so what you literally have is a chilling of the free enterprise system over this. And I'm going to be talking about these ADA cases a whole lot more in the future because they're critical to understand. The ADA shakedown racket, the Americans with Disabilities Act, has spawned a sleazy lawsuit industry. Walter Olson writes the piece. It's a great, great article highlighting the problem. All right, it's a serious problem. And it is literally violating the checks and balances that made America great. Not only is it that the law is ambiguous and confusing, that's one of the big problems that nobody can get resolution on because the judges are ruling differently. But not only is that the case, the law, based on the way that it's all written, and I don't understand even the legalese of a lot of this, I just understand what it means. The attorneys that are representing the plaintiff, they get their expenses paid no matter what. So let's say that I'm a defendant and they sue me over my accessibility of my website and I fight and I win. Well, traditionally, I would get their attorney's fees. In other words, my attorney's fees covered, etc. Well, it's one-sided. The attorneys for the plaintiff, the prosecuting attorneys or whatever you want to say, the ones filing the lawsuits, they get their attorney's fees paid for no matter what. And the defendant's side doesn't get their attorney's fees paid no matter what. So even if you win, you lose, in other words. And furthermore, those who are going after all these companies have kind of a, well, they it doesn't matter. The attorneys, they'll fight this all the way because they can never lose. They always get their attorneys paid, no matter who wins the case. And so they've created this moral hazard in the industry, allowing these sleazy attorneys to literally take advantage of the system. And there is no good answer. I've talked to literally legislative people about this. I've talked to people in government. I've talked to attorneys. I've talked to all kinds of people about this. And the ADA shakedown is a racket. And sleazy attorneys are taking advantage of this thing. What does that mean for you and me? It means that if we allow this to grow up around us, you will be ruled by dishonest, immoral, sleazebag attorneys who will literally put everybody over a barrel, over all kinds of issues. It might be the ADA today. It might be your website today. It might be wheelchair access to your bathroom tomorrow. It might be on and on and on and on and on. And where government creates vagary in the law, the lack of clarity, ambiguous, then these are exploited and businesses suffer. We've got to fight and stop this, but that's an informal check and balance that I refer to. It used to be the free enterprise system would have a check and balance. If there was five businesses and one of them was not accessible, then, hey, the visually impaired or those who have other impairments, the deaf, whoever the case may be, could get together and say, listen, we like this business better because it's accessible and this other one's not. And let the free market work that out by the court of public opinion. And if businesses want to do right by the population, they will realize, hey, my restaurant doesn't have wheelchair access and other ones do. I better provide wheelchair access so that I'm competitive and so that I, have a heart to my entrepreneurial spirit, if you will. But when you mandate this stuff and when you create vague laws, then it becomes just a survival of the fittest. Who gets beat up? If four restaurants never get a complaint, never have a lawsuit filed, but one does, that one company is at a significant disadvantage. Do you see how that literally starts to manipulate and dig into and violate the principles, the checks and balances that normally exist in a free market system? All right, let me talk about another check and balance that's fairly informal, but I think relates as well. You ready? Well, the WorldNet Daily, WND.com, emailed me and said, hey, Sam, we're getting shaken down. Yeah, the ADA shakedown racket is now at WorldNet Daily's doors. Okay? WNDADA, type that into Google. Six letters, WND space. If you count the space, it's seven letters. WND space ADA. And what do you get? Wow. You don't get hardly anything. Right? You don't get anything. Wow. Is Google blocking them? I think so. Let's come back and talk about it more. What if I make my search more direct? Hang tight. We'll talk about it in seconds on your radio.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, But I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
Do you treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty, too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
Small Business Tech Guys is a team of experts ready to assist you with any service relating to growing your business. Our team specializes in information and technology, social media, general consulting, and HR. We thrive on assisting startup entrepreneurs with growing their businesses. If it's small business, it's our cup of tea. To schedule your free discovery call today, consider sbtechguys.com. We keep an eye on tech so you don't have to. sbtechguys.com.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman on your radio. All I can tell you is these lawsuits are out of control. Frivolous legal claims. Literally, in my opinion, serial plaintiffs. Literally abusing the system, ladies and gentlemen. ADA website lawsuits rise under the Biden administration. The ADA shakedown racket, sleazy attorneys, serial plaintiffs. Yeah, serial plaintiffs turns California ADA lawsuits into lucrative cottage industry. Serial plaintiffs. Right? Well, so that's a check and balance that I believe is really in trouble. Because where will this go? They always say you can sue anybody for anything. But now you've got these sleazy attorneys in bed with these serial plaintiffs that literally have conflict of interest, and they're making filthy lucre. Well, WND.com has been hit with one of these lawsuits. So now you're starting to see that the next check and balance I want to talk about is the media. The media now being attacked by this. And you know what? Can the media continue if it's attacked by this? Let me ask you a question. What if my website gets attacked? And they say, hey, Sam Bushman, your website, libertyroundtable.com, is not accessible to the blind. Well, I'm a blind person and I own the website. You know, what does compliance mean? Well, nobody knows. Nobody can tell you. Well, there's standards out there. Yeah, but the standards are nebulous at best. Achieving those standards is a debate. You implement some technologies and some say that works. It's great. Some say no. Well, how about accessibility for the sighted? A lot of times a cell phone doesn't render a website as well as a computer does. Is that device discrimination? Where do we go with this ADA shakedown racket scenario, ladies and gentlemen? Well, I don't know, but I know this. There's media groups saying they cannot handle these lawsuits. They're going to go under over it. There's a coffee shop that went under over this. There's literally bike shops in California now that are saying, we don't have accessibility compliance. Down. We're in trouble. Well, you say, Sam, what do we do about it? Well, we've got to insist that Congress do something about this. There are bills before Congress by a few astute members of Congress that realize this problem, and they're trying to do something about it. But look, it's not seeing the light of day. It was inserted in the last congressional session, and then nothing happened, so it died. And then they had to put it on the docket again this year. Okay? That's going on. But no one really knows about it. It's not a big deal. But it's going to rise to prominence. It's going to become more and more and more in your face because they're abusing people left and right. Well, what do we do? Well, here's the problem. You've got this serial revolving door going on where government literally puts its people into media and media people put their people into government. It goes round and round. The Trump administration did it. The Barack Obama administration did it. The George Bush administration did it. The Bill Clinton administration did it. They're all doing it. And now Joe's doing the same thing. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki, they say, will reportedly join MSNBC after she leaves her current position. Sources familiar with the matter told Axios. Psaki has told White House officials, they say senior officials, about her intention to join MSNBC, and she has been in close contact with the network, sources told Axios. Think about that. The sources also reportedly said the press secretary is expected to leave her current position around May. Right? So around May, she's going to leave the Biden administration. She's going to go to work for MSNBC. She will host a show for them, I guess. What do you think about that? And this is what I mean. So she's a government person, but Trump did the same thing. You had government people then all of a sudden go into the media, and the media people go into government. And this revolving door violates another check and balance. What do you mean, Sam? Well, this informal check and balance is where, look, the media is designed to create transparency and accountability in government through their investigative capabilities. The media is not supposed to have a revolving door with your government to where, well, if I'm in government, I'm going to, well, control the media. They're not going to report on my deal. And now we see an incredible chilling of true reporting. Look, the media is supposed to get the who, what, when, where, why of a story, are they not? Well, if they know full well that they won't get special privilege at the trough of government, they're not going to do the who, what, when, where, why. They're not going to dig in for real investigative reporting and create transparency. They're not going to do that. They're going to say, look, we got a partnership here. They're not going to be too hard on Jen, asking her questions about the administration and about the current policies and the doings and the goings-ons and all that of government. If they, well, they're trying to woo her to leave government and go work for them. Are they not? Psaki has told White House senior officials about her intention to join MSNBC. MSNBC, right? She has been in close contact with the network. Okay? So I don't have any confidence that they'll get to the bottom of stories and tell us the truth, do you? They're trying to woo the current press secretary. Right? Think about that. What does that mean for you and me? Well, I submit to you that it's an incredible check and balance violation. Okay? Because how can they report on the truth? How can they create accountability and transparency that way? I don't see how they can. Right? I don't know how to respond to this. Because I look at this and go, it's such a violation of, in my opinion, normalcy. But it violates the check and balance. Because if you literally take away the media's ability to report on government, it was intentionally supposed to be like a vanguard. Freedom of the press, freedom of association, freedom of assembly. See, all these things were designed for us to push back and then have a redress of grievance when wrongs were done. Do you think the media is going to dig into this ADA discussion big time? I don't see why they would attack the Americans with Disabilities Act and attack government over that there. They want Jen Psaki to join them. See, we've created a crisis. So these are the informal checks and balances. We had the media that was supposed to keep an eye on things, the incredible watchdog that was supposed to investigate and create transparency and expose scandal, bring to light truths, discuss the who, what, when, where, why about a story. They're not doing that, and they're not doing that because of this revolving door that I'm highlighting. right? Saki, whatever, has told White House senior officials about her intention to join MSNBC and has been in close contact with the network. She is expected to leave her current position around May, ladies and gentlemen. Think about that. Does that concern you? And now you've got big tech helping the cause, right? So see, this is what I mean. We're chilling our checks and balances because pretty soon if nobody can report on anything, then how are the people going to get the news on anything? Let's say that I expose vote fraud. We believe we've done that quite a bit, right? But the government just says there's no vote fraud. And the media that's in bed with the government says, no, there's no vote fraud. Psaki said so in the government. She's also saying so in the media, right? And then I say, yeah, there is vote fraud. And they say, you're a nutcase. Shut him down. Use big tech to shut him right on down. Wow. Let me give you a point, or let me give you something to make the point. You know, we've all heard from Fauci how you got to wear masks. You have got, I repeat, you have got to have a vaccination, says Fauci, right? Well, that's not what he said in 2004. Here's what he said in 2004 when he was interviewed about this. You ready?
But she's had the flu for 14 days. Should she get a flu shot?
Well, no. If she got the flu for 14 days, she's as protected as anybody can be because the best vaccination is to get infected yourself.
And so
if she really has the flu,
she right. should not get it again.
No, she doesn't need it because it's the most potent vaccination is getting infected yourself.
The most potent vaccination is getting infected yourself.
Well, no, if she got the flu for 14 days, she's as protected as anybody can be because the best vaccination is to get infected yourself.
And so if she really has the flu,
she definitely doesn't need a flu vaccine. If she really has the flu.
She right. should not get it again.
No, she doesn't need it because it's the most potent vaccination is getting infected yourself.
The most potent vaccination is getting infected yourself. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Anthony Fauci for crying out loud. Fauci in 2004, quote, you don't need a shot if you've had the disease. The most potent vaccination is getting infected yourself. Now, why have we jettisoned that reality, ladies and gentlemen, in the era of COVID? See, everything Fauci says is bogus, but the mainstream press covers it up. You got to go back to 2004 where the media was candid, right? I've got example after example where Fauci basically talks out of both sides of his mouth on this, right? The most potent vaccination is getting infected yourself. Think about that. All right? I mean, listen to Fauci here.
Let me ask you about something else from the president's interview with David. David asked about the vaccine, the lack of a vaccine requirement for air travel. There is no vaccine requirement for domestic air travel in the United States. And when the president was asked, should there be one, he said that his team has said it's not necessary at this point. Do you agree with that, that there shouldn't be a vaccine requirement for domestic air travel?
Well, it depends on what you want to use it for. I mean, vaccine requirements for people coming in from other countries is to prevent newly infected people from getting into the country. A vaccine requirement for a person getting on the plane is just another level of getting people to have a mechanism that would spur them to get vaccinated. Namely, you can't get on a plane unless you're vaccinated, which is just another one of the ways of getting requirements, whatever that might be.
So now we're going to talk about requirements, but see, Fauci needs to be caught by the mainstream press. But I'm telling you, mainstream press being compromised by the revolving door of government is disabling one of the informal checks and balances that I speak of so much. It's a shame, ladies and gentlemen. We the people have got to get together and stand for the sacred cause of liberty. God save the Republic.